Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, children with no knees, big knees, knees with hair, and climb on rocks. It's time for the Casually Lit Podcast.
Welcome to another fine episode of Casually Lit. I'm Jason.
I'm David.
I'm Chris.
Wait, do you hear that?
There's nothing happening after those three names.
Rody took off on us. He's
quit. Man down.
Drama. Something about Team Rody versus Team David. Drama stuff.
Yeah. He just, I mean, if you can't deal with the kit, the heat, do the kitchen. There's words that happen in a certain order sometimes that make people think of things.
You want me to actually do the kitchen?
Yes. If you could, please. Right now, I'll wait.
I don't know about that. Anyways, but yes, we've decided to bring on a couple guests. We'll go let them introduce themselves.
I'm Chris from Division Brewing.
Nice.
Brewer / Cellarman.
And I'm Doran, just the Cellarman.
Ah, nice. So yeah, you guys know Division Brewing quite well. We've had Wade and Sean on this podcast once.
Yeah.
We're going
just
with...
Just once? I thought it was more than that.
This podcast once. Other podcast twice, three, four, five.
The podcast which shall not be named.
Yeah.
Why not? What happened?
Oh, you know, just like several episodes of that podcast.
Anyways, we're going in a different perspective. So we're going to talk to Chris about how he became part of Division, how all that happened, and how awesome this could be. And we're going to talk about a bunch of Division beers. We've got quite a few to talk about. And then we're going to discuss David's update, which we should start there, David.
Okay.
Your weekly New Main Brewing update.
The New Main Minute.
Yeah, there we go.
There's really not a whole lot left for me to do to get open. We had our inspection, had one of our inspections yesterday for our sprinklers and our fire alarm. The sprinklers passed, but the fire alarm did not. Apparently, there's like, you have to call within a certain time frame, like a minute and a half, and we were like 20 seconds too long. Which kind of doesn't sound like my problem. That sounds like dispatch's problem. Who am I? Just the guy that paid for the entire fucking system.
Hmm.
They're coming back on Friday to test that shiz. And hopefully that works. And we also submitted our certificate of occupancy application today. The next thing that follows after that is they look at all my stuff and say, yeah, you're the shit. Then they schedule one last walkthrough with the fire department and with the building inspector to make sure that this place isn't a giant death trap that's going to kill millions of people. So hopefully we can get that and my fire alarm inspection on the same day. That was not the fire alarm.
We have to go.
I'm a very cheerful, hey, get out of the building. It's on fire. You'll burn. But yeah, everything else, I mean, we've cleaned the place top to bottom. We've put fresh coats of paint on everything. There are random tools left throughout the brewery that we probably need to make one more pass to clean up. Otherwise, it's going to be murder at the New Main Express. Oh, he did it in the women's restroom with the hedge clippers.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Well, we could set up a clue game here. That would kind of be cool.
Yeah.
A live clue game.
The skinny is, if we do get our CO, we will be open unofficially as of this Saturday, the 10th? 11th, but we are planning a big we're letting everyone know date on the 24th, which is two weekends from now. Tell your friends, tell your wife, tell your husband, tell that guy you know in accounting that always hums that stupid freaking song that always gets stuck in your head, and Jesus, Bill, will you just shut up? Tell him and bring everyone out. It's gonna be a good time.
I totally approve.
Definitely. That's so been the New Main Minute.
We're calling it the 24th.
24th.
Of
that's
what?
The grand opening.
Tell people, make news. If I am not open on the 24th, I will look like a giant asshole.
It's magical.
What month, though?
Exactly. No, February 24th. Come on down, New Main Brewing Company, Pantego, Texas. Google us. We're on Google.
It's worth a Google. So that's amazing. Then there'll be no more New Main Minutes.
There might be. I mean, we can just, like, update people as to what we have on the board or coming up.
We'll just let you sit down and count your money on the podcast.
Yes. One, two, that's it. Just two.
I made $2 this week.
Two monies.
Can we talk about the fact that you officially hired a taproom manager?
I did. You might recall from a few podcasts ago, we had a gentleman on that was talking about clearing landmines. He's also really good at clearing beer lines. She was helping me do today. Mr. David Gill is going to be our official taproom manager at New Main Brewing Company.
Very nice. He's a good guy.
He's freaking awesome.
I have yet to meet him.
He's pretty awesome. He's always very punctual. I haven't worked very many shifts with him yet.
It's like, I don't know what kind but, of... He worked at Cool Keg for over a year.
Yeah, 2 years worked at Cool Keg for over a year. He ran his own freaking pub in England for 2 years.
Oh, so it's a... Oh, dude, he watched me stab Doran one time.
Oh, okay. That's a really odd anecdote.
Yeah, it was great.
He was quite concerned on what he was seeing when he walked by.
We were drunk as fuck.
Well,
drinking flights. Yeah. I think it was the Division Tap takeover night.
Nice.
And we were up there, and I forgot what me and Doran were talking about. But
I mean, you can honestly say now, blood, sweat, and tears went into it.
Mm. Like, yeah, I was going to say, Doran basically challenged me and was like, do it. And so I fucking stabbed him in the hand with the pen gently. It wasn't... Didn't go through or anything. But right as this has happened, David's walking up and he's like, can I get you guys something to drink?
Well, no one's going to top that.
Was it a pen or a pen knife?
It was actually the pen for signing my tab.
Oh, okay. So, I thought you like had whipped out your buck knife and were flaying him alive.
Oh, no. I was paying my tab. And
nice.
What's the knife called that... Crocodile Dundee has. He goes, that's not a knife. This is a knife.
That's a spoon. A
Bowie knife?
Yep. There we go.
Nice. Well, so you've played Knifey Spoony before.
A Bowie knife. I thought that was James Bowie, you know, the Alamo hero.
No, it's David Bowie.
Oh, dear. So let's talk about this first beer that we are drinking. Let's talk about this Rosalie.
John made that beer.
We know Rosalie quite well.
But basically, it's... same thing, but a little bit newer, a little bit different twist. He's introduced the oak fooder into the process there, and so it's got a little bit of oak to it, and it's a nice subtle but also complimenting character, in my opinion. Kind of really brought the beer forward a little more. Kind of takes away from that tartness, kind of softens it out a bit, in my opinion. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Sean makes some tremendously good sours.
And, yeah, he does.
And I've since then you know, come out of the old hole that I was hiding in, and I've started tasting them, buying them from the stores, checking them out. And, man, there's a lot of tremendously good sour products out there that I think in the, you know, what really shot me off was drinking a Flemish sour that one day.
Yeah, the still?
Well, it's... No, I don't even remember. This is probably like 2007.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was probably 2009. I was just out of high school, so I wasn't supposed to be drinking beer, let alone fine beer.
That'll earn you, darn you.
And we started out, you know, drinking a shitload of Belgian beers, whichever one had the highest alcohol in it.
Yep.
Let's get that one. Just go in there, ransack the shelves, build your own six-pack, whichever ones have the highest alcohol percentage. But we also, you know, got gun-shy because we'd... gone in there and bought stuff from Avery that was like 15%. And you turn around and you try to drink it, and
Jesus.
You immediately are like, we should be sitting in a log cabin. Not what I thought it was going to be.
That's true, yeah. Avery doesn't make anything under 10%.
No, their session stout is like 91%.
That's sessionable. That's crazy, yeah. And I agree with you. Like, I've not been a real big fan of sours either, but I think David is more...
I've definitely developed a taste for them.
I had to do what Chris did. I had to warm up to them, and I had to be like, ah. And I've started to recognize how they're good beers, but it doesn't necessarily mean I want it.
What got me going is the first sour I ever had that I enjoyed was a peach golden sour that Sean had made. They called it Lorelei, and that was actually at their tastings. And I think that eventually became Peach Espalier. Peach Espalier was a little bit different, was put in the oak barrels versus it just being in a carboy. Mm. And I think the name Lorelei was already trademarked by another place. So
yeah, down in Corpus.
Yeah.
I've actually been there. It's a nice brewery.
Mermaids.
That is the best sour beer I've ever had. It was the first sour beer that I've actually had that I liked. And, you know, they're giving away free beer at the tasting. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Hell, I'm going to try all of them.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was drunk when I left, but...
I mean, that's the magic of those tastings, though. When Wade and Sean, we talk about it all the time. We talk about Division every single freaking episode. But that's an immense moment in a lot of, like, how we all came to meet each other. Well, most of us came to meet each other was at a tasting at Division. At Wade's house for us. And then, you know, we met you guys through Division. And
we met at Jekyll's.
Well, yeah.
Dr. Jekyll.
I drink so much beer.
David's reflecting.
I am.
The place is magical.
It really is. I mean, That's the beer. It's the drink. I just love you guys.
I do miss, and that's, you know, back, you know, when specifically when I was talking about going into places, searching through those bottles, everybody else my age was drinking Keystone and whatever there was to enjoy. Please. And I was like, I can't do it. I don't really care for liquor because I get way too hammered way too fast.
Yep. Because if you can drink Ram's Fist, fuck, you can drink almost anything.
Thank you, Gam.
No, I think you're definitely right, but let's talk about how'd you get hooked up with Division?
I went to the tasting.
And you were like, no, I want to work for you.
Yeah, no, I was like, you know, if you need some help, you know, I'm down. And Wade was just like, well, you know what, I'll tell you what, when we open, come up here and we'll see what happens. And so, you know, that's exactly what I did. I bugged the piss out of him. I was like, hey, you need to clean something, here I come.
Yeah.
I mean, I started out where Doran did, just, you know, cleaning shit.
Right.
And eventually, you know, just through basically paving the way, earning my stripes.
Yeah, because you've been homebrewing yourself for a long time.
Yeah, since I was 19.
Yeah.
So I'm 28. 9 years.
Nice. Yep.
Homebrewing. Nice. Well, 7 years of homebrewing. Been at it professionally now for 2 years.
That's true.
Somewhat professionally. It's kind of a rudimentary system, but compared to some of our competitors, but still, no, it's
handmade.
It's a whole nother process compared to, you know, a kettle and a burner in the backyard. It's actually kind of, you know, the exact same amount of time. And it's a lot funner when it comes to cleaning because you turn the spray bottle on and you stand there instead of actually scrubbing it.
God damn it, the water's cold again.
We need more PBW.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you hooked up with them for 6 months and they let you brew your first batch? Or
yeah, it was about...
It was close. Yeah, I remember.
I think it was eight months, actually, but somewhere in there, 6-8 months.
I feel like trying to remember that beer. I know I can remember it, but what do you remember what it was?
Oh, fuck no.
Pretty sure it was Belgian.
It was Doolin's Devil.
There yes.
That'll be making its comeback this spring.
Nice.
That's a fond triple. I do enjoy Belgian ales. Hmm. I kind of, you know, I've tasted the quads of quads and the triples of triples, and I got the inspiration from that beer from Le Fin de Monde by Unibrew.
Nice.
It's just a beer you can pretty much find at any place that has at least a half-decent selection.
Yeah.
And it's usually the strongest thing at those places that you go to. You're like, oh, thank God, they have something I can drink.
Yeah, there's a reason that translates to the end of the world.
Yeah.
I stand by that. I mean, the higher ABV tastes better to me, too, most of the time. Not just because it's higher ABV.
It's usually... Like, If it's a higher ABV, it's something that they've put a lot more energy, time, and thought into, and it's a well-organized beer.
As opposed to some sessionable thing that just tastes like fruit.
Oh, we need to make money. Buy a lot of this.
So you did your first batch, and everything's been great, right? Everything?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm 18 or 19 beers deep now. We've done 100 different beers. I think we're actually just over 100 now. We've had a couple of new ones since... Anniversary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but roughly a fifth of all of the beers we created through that 2 year period came from, you know, my brain. Typically, you know, Wade and Sean Poulot trust me, and they're like, all right, well, you get in there and do what you do.
Do what you do.
Nice.
If it doesn't taste good, we're not selling it. That's
their motto, yeah.
I was going to say, if it's a trash product, we're not putting it up.
That's a fair point.
We've gotten a little bit stricter on ourselves over the years. We've had some stuff that, you know, wasn't necessarily bad, but didn't necessarily meet our standards. And so
sure.
That's kind of what we're going to be focusing on for the next couple of years that we push forward with the newer system. We're going to be looking towards those beers that we got good crowd response from, stuff that people enjoy, people ask about. We're going to try to push those forward, try to get them licensed and pushed off-site.
Nice.
So we can start you know, expanding our horizons.
I know of a couple of accounts in Pantego that would definitely carry that.
Yeah, because the batches are what, doubled or tripled?
Quadrupled.
Oh, yep. Damn.
Well, technically, they're the same size for the fermenters that we were using. There's just one kettle now instead of two.
Right.
Whereas now, whenever we were filling our 7-barrel fermenters, we had to go through the tedious process of brewing twice in one day.
Whew.
And filling a 7-barrel fermenter with a 3.5-barrel batch, one after another. So you're talking about a 14-18-hour day. Yeah. God forbid something goes wrong.
Yeah. Fuck. That's a lot of time.
Finally, we got those kinks worked out, and we've got the bigger systems. Now we just, you know, one brew day, and it's filled. We're good to go.
Nice. You're still homebrewing, though, right?
No, I don't have time.
I was about to say, is there anything about being in the pro brewing world now that you've changed your homebrew setup or process or anything?
Not really. I think I'd pretty much be doing the exact same thing I was doing, you know, whenever I was homebrewing as I'd be doing now, other than the fact that the, you know, industrial equipment's, you know, much different, pumps and hydraulic fittings. And
they, you hear that, homebrewers? There's nothing separating you from pro brewers. They just have fancier toys.
Exactly.
And you can't throw batches away.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, $40, you screwed up that Hefeweizen. Oh, that's shoot. A big deal. You know?
Yeah. Whereas
$400 worth of grain and I get an entire day of work.
Not to mention lost profit, time.
Yeah, and the profit, the time.
Yeah.
Grain, hops can be retarded expensive.
Yep.
Man, back whenever I was making IPAs and I was like, oh, 275 an ounce, look like 10 ounces. Yeah. I spent $27.50 on hops for one batch of beer. I mean, that was for a 5-gallon batch.
Right.
Start throwing 12 pounds of hops in a batch and you're like, oh my God.
It's like, oh, yeah, no. Oh, a couple no. hundred bucks worth of hops.
I hope it works.
We just put a plasma TV in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a new gun.
It's like, I'm getting some Hoppies 9 on this. It's not Hoppy, it's just Hoppies 9 gun oil.
Well, let's talk about your beer that you brought, Billy Witch.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is one of your beers. Let's talk about it. Tell us about it.
Billy Witch is a toasted oatmeal stout, 7% alcohol, 32 IBUs. Essentially, it's a pretty, you know, forward oatmeal stout. I took a different direction, and one of those directions a lot of brewers, especially if you start to review the process, a lot of people, you know, will tell you that you don't want to burn oatmeal because it pushes forth an unwanted tannin quality.
Okay.
But I feel there's a certain aspect, a certain amount of toasting that the oatmeal can, you know, take before it actually starts to put off that ridiculous tannin bitterness.
Yeah.
To where you can actually balance it out and couple it with the sweetness of the malts. A lot of people are like, what do you mean toasted? And I'm like, you know, I put it in a glass Tupperware and put it in the oven and burnt the shit out of it.
Nice.
And everybody's like, really? It doesn't taste like that. Because if you don't know what it tastes like, go home and burn some oatmeal until it tastes black and put it in your mouth.
This week's homework assignment. Nice. Definitely, it's got a roast character that's not your familiar roast barley roast character.
Right.
And that's where that's coming from. That's really interesting.
And that's one of those, that's actually a reproduction of a homebrew. I brought that nice. from my homebrew system to a professional system.
I had a bottle of this on a typical DFW podcast.
I think that was actually from the brewery.
No, because nope. I had some before.
It was your homebrew.
Before it was Division, they said, "Hey, this guy called Chris Morton gave me this beer."
That's actually how I ended up meeting Wade. He was on the mailing list, and he was like, "Hey, dude, there's a guy opening a brewery in Arlington. It's supposed to be Arlington's first brewery, and they're having a tasting at his house.
You want
to go?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!"
Exactly y'all's story. Like Brody was on the mailing list, right?
Yeah.
Wade has a cool house, man. I'm pretty sure my mom's house was designed by the same architect, but
it's like all glass walls. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but Wade's house is slightly larger. It's a nice house. It's a cool place.
It is, man. His den is like the coolest fucking place to be.
Yeah.
All the guitars and everything.
Yeah.
And the cats.
The record. Oh yeah, the cats too. When I was still doing the blog just for homebrew stuff, I interviewed them, and we were just sitting in his den drinking a bunch of beer. And I was there with my notebook and my pen and my prepared questions, and I was like, at one point, it just kind of sunk in how fucking cool it was just to be sitting here with these brewers in his home with this beer that's about to go public, and just like, dude, get the fuck over yourself. You're having a great time. It was awesome.
Oh my God. So no, this is amazing beer right here, sir.
I love this beer.
Well, it's kind of my go-to at the brewery right now, too.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where, you know, I love IPAs. I've kind of gotten to the point where now, it doesn't matter what I make, I'm typically drinking my own stuff. And I'm not sure if it's because that's why, I made it. That's why I'm drinking it. That's what I wanted to make. I wanted to drink it. Or is it, you know, self-preservation, some analysis there. I got to double-check my product constantly.
Sure.
Yeah. The tasting sessions can get very, very brutal. It started out pretty good. Me and Doran, on Saturday, we went over there and decided, hey, let's go have a Christmas coffee. It's 10:30 in the morning. We don't open till 2. It's cool. We'll just go in there, have a coffee, beer, and head on.
Sure.
And it turned into a 4.5 hour tasting event. Oh, it's like, let's take a picture of this beer with the board in the background, and then I saw the Beer Me Now sign, and I was like, let's put the Beer Me Now sign right here with the board, with the picture there. And then I had a realization that I could do the boomerang app thing to get a video of Doran setting the beer down on the
Yep.
And I was like, all right, now you got it. And so we sat there for like 10 minutes. Like, you know, you got to get it just right. So you're turning around and setting it down right as the boomerang thing ends. And, you know, it didn't work the first time or the second time or the fifth time.
Or the 20th time.
I think it worked the third time. But I was like, we better keep trying.
Get it better.
Yeah. And it didn't get any better. So like 20 times in. And, you know, that's also 20 top this beer offs later.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks fancy in the video. And then it went from that to maybe instead we should take 3 beers in full glasses and set them up, you know, 2 full pint glasses with the tulip in the middle with the tackers. And then Doran picked up a freaking bottle cap. And I was like, fuck, I put the ball cap there. And the next thing you know,
we had every freaking shirt out.
I've got the shirts, the hats, the fucking tackers. We didn't use any of that stuff for the videos. For the pictures, we actually went back to that third video that we took. So nice. We could have stopped there and went home, called it a day. But instead, we made it home about 1:30, 2 in the afternoon, and proceeded to sleep until about 7.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
That's a successful Saturday.
I woke up at 7 o'clock with a hangover on the same day. I was like, what happened?
Damn you, coffee, Christmas, morning beer.
I actually blame Trace.
Mm.
We actually poured a full pint of Trace as part of the photo op there. And then Sean and Brad and everybody started showing up to like open for the day. And me and Doran are drunk as fuck with the tackers and fucking shirts and all this shit on the counter.
Damn merch out on the counter.
In the fucking sign hanging there. The one that goes in the front, like,
right.
They actually drilled a hole through the wall so the power cord would go outside. Like, there's a hole in the wall. But the power cord for the Beer Me Now sign that goes outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We actually went through the trouble to remove that cord from the hole in the walls so we could take these pictures. Nice. And then we put it all back somehow. I don't remember doing it, but we put it back apparently.
Hey.
But then Sean tells Wade and everybody, he's like, I don't know, man, I got up here at 1 and Doran and Chris are up here drinking Trace, fucking decorating.
Decorating.
Yeah, that's the way he described it. And I was like,
that's excellent.
Kind of what I'm 4 hours and we used the third fucking video.
That's how it goes though, man. There's a lot of gold on editing, you know, it's like cutting room floors.
Those of you thinking about working at a brewery, there you go.
It's hard work.
The social media aspect is unhealthy and it's time, it's a lot more time consuming than you think.
Yeah.
Social media is stupid. It's obsessive.
I know. Why the fuck are we doing this podcast?
How much work goes into making it look effortless? I hate it.
Oh, like, there's nothing worse.
I was scrolling through my phone the other day. I was at Amanda's concert. Like, I was going to record it so she can listen back to it and show the kids and everything. And I was like, oh, man, I need to make some room on my phone. 95% of my photos are pictures of either beer or wood walls or signs or things I took pictures of for insurance purposes. And I've got no selfies, which I'm very proud of.
I don't do that either.
Yeah. I've got some pictures of my dogs, and then the rest of it is beer. It's all beer.
We say it's either beer or swimming pools.
Nice. Swimming pools, movie stars.
I did scoop those leaves.
Nice.
I don't want to hear anybody bitch about it. The wind is blowing. It fucking rained, and the wind was blowing hard as shit. Not to mention it was 28 degrees this morning, and everything was covered in ice.
Oof.
I don't fucking care about your leaves or some dirt in the pool.
Yeah.
You bitch. You're not fucking swimming. It's February.
Left all the ice in.
Are you not entertained?
Fuck, what movie is that from?
Gladiator.
Yes. The brilliant movie.
The best. Russell Crowe, goddammit.
Back when they made
good movies. I'm Marcus Aurelius. The true king.
Back when they only needed one movie to make a movie, and you didn't need 3 movies for one movie.
Mm. Gladiator 2, The Gladiatoring. Gladiator 3, I Can't Believe I Gladiate Thing.
It'll make you think about it, too. Like, when you stop and think about movie production, back whenever they would take those huge chunks out of the storyline and fuck up the book. Mm. And you were like, God damn it, they ruined the book. Now it's like, hey, let's do it exactly like the book, except for a couple parts, and let's make it three movies. And the first movie can be nothing happening.
Yep. Yep.
And the second movie can be you waiting to see the third movie.
Yep. And then the third movie feels rushed as hell.
Yeah.
CGI. You're like,
And it's just like, and then they change something drastically, and you're like, well, that's really convoluted. It doesn't make sense.
I kind of laugh because no matter what the ending is, when you wait that long for it, it's going to be overhyped. No matter what. I don't fucking care what the ending is. You're like, I waited for this?
The Hobbit broke my freaking
heart.
Dude,
yeah, fuck me. The Hobbit was a disaster.
Because the Hobbit book, like, is I mean, it's The Hobbit. Everyone's read The Hobbit. Everyone knows The Hobbit. The Hobbit's a good book.
I had the cartoon.
Yeah, man.
It was a creepy cartoon.
It was a two-part VHS, and it had The Hobbit cartoon and Treasure Island.
Nice.
I don't know. Remember, I think it was might have been bootleg. We used to stick the VHSs in there and record pay-per-view and shit.
Fuck yeah.
Back before pirating was a thing.
Pirates of the VHS.
I actually learned that from my parents. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. That's a good skill to have.
We paid for this pay-per-view. We're going to film it with the VHS.
We're not going to pay for this view.
Well, I mean, it's like a 24-hour rental. Watch it as many times as you want, right? I mean...
Yeah, that's what it is now, right?
How many times are you going to watch a movie? I mean, like, you might watch it like a couple times a year, right? Should last at least 12, 15 years.
Sure.
VHSs are outdated now.
So. That's true. Some of them, like, have real cheap magnet strip or whatever like that. You can't watch them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see anything on them.
Or it's just a bunch of crap and you can slightly see the picture.
Right.
What is the ABV on this Trace Crane?
12.5.
Yeah.
Our software had us at 150 IBUs. That's software. We haven't actually had an ISO Humalone test on it, so I'd be skeptical on the actual IBUs, but I'd probably cut that out. I don't want to hear. if you guys ever hear me being critical of our own beer, it's because I'm saying it in confidence. I trust you guys.
It's got a bite.
This is a big old beer.
It's a monster.
Yep.
It will knock you in the mouth.
Yep. Kicked in the groin, kicked in the teeth.
Whew. Taking fucking pictures with the tackers and wasted.
I wish I could brush my teeth with it.
It's pasty enough.
It is nice. Good. No, it's definitely good. It's definitely bitter. It's definitely a triple. There's not much sweetness to it. It's very fresh.
I should have brought a six pack.
Ooh, we'd Jeff. All be done.
We need more people. I should come with the Surgeon General's warning. Warning, you may post some stuff to social media that you didn't remember.
I was about to say, I think it did, but that's just the government. This product contains that whole thing.
Uncle Sam doesn't want us to have a good time.
So I noticed you didn't have any signage up yet.
What type of signage are we talking?
Well, I mean, it doesn't say anywhere in here that I can't carry a handgun.
Yeah, all those papers are in a neat pile that should be conspicuously placed as per TABC regimen and rule.
Yeah.
I've got them. I just haven't put them up yet. But yeah.
I just got my CHL.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
So, yeah, thank you. So it was one of those things where I'm looking for signs everywhere.
Yep. Like, hyper-conscious. Nope. Signage.
Walmart sign says you can't come in here with it just says the typical and unlicensed, you can't carry a gun in here. It's a felony to have a gun if you're unlicensed, or for a handgun if you're unlicensed. But
damn,
Chili's doesn't give a fuck. Specs doesn't give a fuck. Costco says you can't carry concealed or open in there.
Commies.
Or somewhere else. The banks don't give a shit. The banks actually encourage it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And there's a spot I'm going to be hitting up actually here in Pantego. It's a Italian restaurant called Saljo's.
Yeah, Saljo's, yeah.
The guy's from Ukraine or Lebanon or some crazy country. And he's, you know, he's gained citizenship status and whatnot. And he's pro-gun. Dude, he's got guns and shit all over his walls and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got all these signs up. And actually, back whenever all those crazy people were running around the streets with their ARs and Walmarts and stuff.
Right.
He was like, oh, you can bring your gun in here, get a fucking pizza. I'm going to try to get some beer. And then we're like, oh, man, you got some domestics and liquor. Like, I'm going to go in there with a pistol and just be like, hey.
By division brewing.
It's in a holster. I'm not threatening him. I'm just.
It's just a mild suggestion.
You might want to buy for me, just saying.
We're as fucking cool as you.
I like their garlic knots that they have there, though.
I've only been there to eat a couple of times. The chicken a la vodka was pretty good.
Ooh, I knew two of those words.
Ukraine vodka.
Chicken and vodka.
Shit makes sense.
Vodka.
I'd put the vodka in me chicken.
I make some outstanding food, though.
Nice.
And the guy's a freedom lover.
Hell yeah. Do you have any specific styles of beer that you would like to still brew? Do you have anything, you know, kind of in your portfolio of homebrew that you'd love to see on a larger scale?
Yeah, definitely. We're actually discussing this yesterday. I'm hoping we can at some point push forward a nice, thick, luxurious barley wine, something that we're going to have to set back for a couple of years.
I love that.
And this is just in the, you know, prototype phase. We're just discussing this. But we're talking about, you know, we got another 7-barrel fermenter, and right now at our stage, you know, we're not ready to output a large volume, so there's not a whole lot of 7-barrel beers that we could make that we could sell almost immediately. And if we're, you know, our IPAs sell pretty quick, but we're so concerned with freshness that we don't want to risk making, you know, 7 barrels of IPA and, you know, it being still sitting there in a month, because it's going to degrade the hop aroma, the flavor. Yep. So, you know, instead of doing that, we're thinking, well, what's something we could put in there and we could just leave in there until the time comes? And if we need to, we can keg it or move it to another vessel and just let it sit there. Mm-hmm. Something we don't have to fuck with. And I was like, let's make a barley wine. Let's just take all of our extra grain, all the extra two-row, every bit that we can find.
Yep.
Let's just fill the mash tun as high as it goes. Before we upgraded to our...
for like 10 days.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we upgraded to our newer system, we had the Psycho Brew is about 100 gallons. Mm-hmm. Wade and Sean had actually started using our 7-barrel mash tun. Doran and I were still doing half, you know, we're doing 75-gallon batches. We actually took that freaking mash tun to the limit. I had pictures of it on my old phone where we actually filled the mash tun to where the grain was actually sitting 2 or 3 inches higher than the rim. We're like, God. Oh, fuck, we got a little bit too much here.
It's just about a pound or two.
We filled the mash tun over the rim. You know, we maxed it out. Like, we can't fill it any higher. Unfortunately, we were more focused on, you know, capturing the volume. We're hoping to get high ABV, but we're also trying to hit 60 gallons. Mm-hmm. So we ended up coming out with, you know, moderately, I think it was 10% beer. I don't even remember which one it was. Whereas, you know, if we just used a little bit less water, you know, we probably would have had like 14% or 15% beer.
God.
But I was like, we can't fill the fermenter up halfway. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing a light water spart or a light water mash and then a heavy sparge and diluting the piss out of it. And it turned out great, but.
Damn.
I can't wait to do that with the big one. Yeah. Fill that fucking thing all the way up. I think we could easily fit, you know, 1,000 pounds of grain in there, if not more.
Jesus. Start breaking the freaking foundation.
Yeah, it might.
Nice.
Barley wine. And Division's bottling now, too. Have y'all started bottling or no?
No, we got the bottles. The bottles came in yesterday.
Oh. Nice.
We got our caps. Mm. We got our counter pressure filler, 6-bottle counter pressure filler. With the all the caps, we got our custom caps, we got our bottles in. So I think the first product we're working on labeling right now, we're basically on the finalizing the labels for Rosalie. We're going to start getting that bottled up and hopefully see that, you know,
it's going to be beautiful
on store shelves. And if not store shelves, at the brewery here soon. And it's going to be naturally bottle conditioned. We're not going to force carb or, you know, it's going to be 100% natural. So there's going to be obviously a phase of, you know, research, test, and development. We're going to try to make sure that these bottles, you know, maintain the quality and the standards that we're trying to achieve before they leave our property to another person's property, of course. But but we got our shit in. Now we're just working on it.
That is exciting. I cannot wait for that. That is the perfect beer to put to be your first bottle release.
I know. And, I mean, we already had most of the label already drawn up. Wade's wife, Tammy, she's a great artist. She did most of the artwork for it, if not all of it, if I'm not mistaken. It's gonna be a great looking bottle. It's gonna be something that really, you know, encapsulates not only the beer but the brand itself. I can't wait to see it, you know, hitting the shelves, seeing people in the public experiencing it.
Yeah,
off site for once. We will pop one of those on this show.
For all those, all the people have been like, "Oh, we can't get Division." We will be able to trade some bottles with listeners that are like, "We really want to try this."
Yeah,
Yeah, we definitely might be doing that.
Yeah.
We might be giving them away.
Yeah, at some point, I'd like to
possibly buy them, pass them out to these listeners.
I'm wanting to do a Belgian quad.
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
Egypt. I had Barrel of Love from Adalbert's 2016 the other day. Belgian quad aged in Chardonnay barrels for... It was a 2016 when my face got melted. I told my wife, you know, I was like, dude, just stop at Specs, buy me a quad. Like, I'm just going to chug it. She brings home this two-year-old bottle of Belgian quad aged in Chardonnay barrels.
Jesus
and I'm
Christ.
Like, and I'm like, and literally I was drinking through a freaking 60-milliliter syringe. Like, I could not open my mouth to eat or drink, so I was injecting shit in my face. And so she bought me that bottle, and I was like, oh, this is badass, but I can't drink this. I can't taste anything. I can't enjoy this. This is too good.
Oh, Sierra Nevada, I saw something from them today when I was shooting. I was like, God bless. I'm just trying to hunt Hop Slam and haven't found it yet. Rody's got it, though.
They ran out over at On Tap. We tasted some.
What's the big deal with the beer?
It's a seasonal beer from Bell's.
I've only had it that one time whenever we had that.
Yeah, when Ryan brought the
giant keg. Yeah. Or the little fucking, the thing was cool as shit. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a really good beer. It's seasonal and it's Bell's. So hot shit.
So much alcohol that night. By the time we got into the Hop Slam, like, I was like, I can't fucking taste this anymore. So, and I hear so much good things about it now, and I'm just like, I had it that one time, but it just, like, it tasted like water at the time because we had 12 other things that were 12%, so the flavor, the buds were gone at that point.
We did stop by. That was an epic freaking bottle share, but that was the night before my PE exam, my professional engineering exam that I had been studying for like 6 months, like studying like 6 hours a day.
I think we had to go to work the next day and clean pools.
Woo! That's definitely when you do a bottle share. It was like the day before or something, like a milestone. You should definitely do that.
Absolutely.
That's what we do every week. We have a bottle share and then we have to go make adult decisions.
Yeah. Yay. That is true. Very true. Except for Chris. Chris makes smart decisions.
Yeah.
He just laughs at us. I always wonder what he thinks. Chris Webb.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah. Like the next day, he's like, those guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Awesome.
As he gets up and goes to, you know, he's like, I'm great.
Like, I don't even have a
hangover.
There's
an old adage. It's, remain silent and be thought a fool rather than open your mouth and prove everybody right. You
know? And remove all doubt.
Yeah, exactly. See, nice. I didn't even fucking say it right. He knew exactly what I was going
to
say, though.
Yeah, because he hasn't been drinking Trace.
He's going to listen to all of us over here.
Trace Cranios is probably one of my favorite beers from y'all.
Oh, dude, it's outstanding.
Is there another beer, another division beer we want to talk about in there?
Yeah, we got...
Come and knock on our door. So far, all these beers get 5 stars from us.
How much did we drink already? I should have brought more, unfortunately. We got Christmas Morning, Born of Oak.
Yep.
I saw that y'all had a can of metal popsicle lips downstairs.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
That's another one of my creations. It's actually a, you know, I don't know if BJCP has recognized Belgian stouts as a style yet.
I don't know, but it should be.
I was going to say, we bought the yeast from Y Yeast, and it's advertised as 1581 PC Belgian Stout. But upon further, you know, review of those sort of things, I'm not sure the BJCP, I might be wrong on this, but I don't think BJCP recognizes Belgian Stouts as a style just yet. But essentially, I took an American Stout styled recipe with the addition of coffee, pitched in some Belgian yeast that was... you know, made for making that particular style. Turned out really well. First time we used some organic coffee. I can't even remember what kind it was, but we were just, you know, spitballing. Let's try it out, see how it works out. The first time it worked out great. Second time we were like, hey, what can we do to capitalize on the coffee? And because the beer itself wasn't exactly, we didn't want it to like make it too coffee oriented. We wanted to still be kind of Belgian aspect and character, but also have that coffee addition, the nice stout character to it as well. And so what we did is we went and searched through coffee. We actually found a coffee brand called Black Rifle Coffee, which are ass videos of them blowing shit up. And we took some of their coffee, the Just Black Rifle Coffee, and incorporated that into the boil and made ourselves a Belgian stout with coffee.
Very nice.
If that is a thing.
It should.
And if it's not, we're fucking making it one.
Yeah, and I just looked up style guidelines for 2017, and it's not on there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's recognized yet, but Y-Yeast is making a yeast and calling it Belgian stout, so that's good enough for me.
That's the greatest thing about the great American craft beer movement is you've got new styles. I mean,
innovation.
Yeah. I mean, Northeast IPAs, you had a couple hazy IPAs that were out of any style that people were like, what the hell are you doing with that? And then look at 2017.
And everybody is like, oh, you got that hazy IPA? Exactly. And you know, it's kind of funny because a lot of people were turned off by the cloudiness or the particulates.
Yeah. I hate that people feel like they have to do that to their beer because you can make a delicious, super juicy, amazingly crafted IPA without pouring wheat flour into
a
beer.
Yeah, you don't need it.
You don't need to do that.
You don't do that with craft beer.
That's right, Goat. You don't. That is correct.
I'll always be here for you, buddy.
No. Shit.
Protein is protein.
But stuff like that, like stuff like the Belgian stout or, you know, one of my favorite beer styles that you just don't see anymore is a British mild. It's a very small, you guys have Distant Cousin, which I always start the night with at Division because I know I'm probably going to have a 9% IPA at some point.
Yeah.
And I gotta kind of like ease into it. I want an Americanization of the British mild. I want something that's a nice, light, sessionable, flavorful, you know, basically an ale for lager lovers. I want something that's a crossover that will bring you into the world of full flavor, of roast, of American hops. I want something like that. That's not just, oh, it's a session IPA. No, screw that. Americans deserve their own mild. You heard it here first, folks. American mild, 2018, casual lit, copyright.
New Main Brewing.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I hereby claim this is intellectual property of myself.
New Main Brewing.
Esquire.
Jesus Christ.
Esquire.
And I'm Ted Logan. So tell us about Born of Oak.
There you go. It was in the fooder.
Right.
It was Sean made it.
Yeah.
Is it a Saison?
Yes, it's a
there you go, bam. You know, there's a reason we call it Division, and that's because it's divided up. Sean doesn't know what the hell Wade's doing. Wade doesn't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what the hell either one of them are doing. But what we do very well is we work together as a team very well.
I feel like the first part of what you just said was the direct opposite of that.
It's, you know, and that's the irony of it.
Yeah.
That is the exact irony of it. It's like, you know, we're all kind of doing our own things, but we coordinate really well together. Man, God, if one of us dies, we're not going to have a brew. We got the software, but Sean's water adjustments, Wade's violent hop additions, and my strict adherence to how can we add more base malt to this to make it stronger. Granted, you know, a lot of my beers aren't that strong, but I'm just trying to ease it in there, trying to make it more appealing. God, for you know, if they would let me do what I'd want. If the consumer, and when I say they, I'm not talking about Wade and Sean, I'm talking about the consumers. Billy Witch would probably be 12% right now. Ooh. It would be.
Yep.
It'd be rough. It'd be like that log cabin beer I was talking about earlier. We'd have to go sit somewhere.
Right.
We can put it this way. There's 52 ratings and it's over a 4. So
that is excellent.
And I think there's 2 of them too.
Oh, there's 2 of the Born of Oaks?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Billy Witch.
No, Billy Witch. That one's as high as 2, so.
Born of Oak, I think, was probably one of my most anticipated beers from you guys recently. You guys always come out with new recipes, and they're always great. But when I saw and heard that you guys were bringing that fooder in, I was like, oh my God, it's about to step up a notch.
Yeah.
And I we walked in one day, and I saw the blow-off tube, and I saw fermentation happening. I was like, it's real. They've got something in there.
It's finally happening. And I like Sean's approach to it, too. He was like, let's do something lightly colored, kind of neutral. Saison was a perfect pick for it.
Definitely.
To finally, you know, get it broken. And then I think he did something else in it. I can't recall, but I know he's doing Rosalie in it now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, rather than capture that first, you know, taste of Home Depot
Taste of Home Depot. Can you describe that?
Go to the lumber section.
It's that cedar taste.
Yeah. Or a little bit of pine.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely a lot of oak character, but it had that finely finished, handcrafted carpentry taste to it. I haven't had Board of Oak today. I might change my opinion now. When it first came out, I was like, oh, that tastes like the lumber section at Home Depot. But it's mellowed out over time. It's really kind of, it's become succinct. Whereas, Rosalie and the way that oak just molds into the hibiscus and the tartness.
Yes.
It was something, that's why Sean bought that fooder. I have every bit of confidence that he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Definitely.
He's a master of his craft.
Whereas, when it comes to barrels and fooders, I'm like, how does that work? Do you run sanitizer through it? What do we do? I'll let you do it.
How much of it is good bugs?
Yep. I started as a cellarman. I'm really good at cleaning shit. That's what got me going.
I'll clean the shit out of your stuff.
So, Dorn, you're cellarman now. What are some of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis to bring division to the people?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let's scrub it,
what
bitch.
What is a cellarman?
Okay.
Let's scrap.
Define.
Yes. Sorry.
Define cellarman.
Our virgin audience.
Doing everything that the brewers don't want to do, pretty much.
Nice.
That means everything else except the drinking.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, milking the goats and checking the fence lines.
I wish we had goats. That would be fucking awesome.
Wouldn't it?
You got a sickle? You have a sickle and you have to go cut the grain?
You got to go thresh.
Dude, that'd be awesome,
So, we're going real old school now.
Yeah.
We'd be like fucking Chateau Rogue. That would be badass. I'm down. Let's do it.
Yes.
Ooh, I've got everything in this brewery is. Yeah, everything in this brewery is grown right there. Yeah,
there you go. Let's turn it into a hydroponic lab.
There's enough room, just saying, David.
For insurance and legal sake, that will not happen here.
Just imagine, you have these hydroponic bins around the edge of that building there with the hops growing up through the rails, and you just basically have a hop pyramid around
that. That would be the shit.
And they're hydroponic hops. You're like, I got these hops over here, AK-47. They're from Pakistan.
So what got you wanting to be in brewing?
I mean, a lot of different stuff. I enjoy the craft beer.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking of what?
You got something to say?
No, the fucking video of the guy that's on fucking Montel Williams or something, and she's like, or the guy's like, so you're going to do a rap for us today? And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to freestyle it.
And he goes quiet.
And he's just like,
oh, yeah.
Never mind, I'm just not going to do it today.
Not today, I'm not feeling it.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you guys. You guys suck. I don't like this show, I don't like talking to you. I'm not telling you shit. I'm going to go home.
Was it similar to Chris? You're just kind of hanging out, anyways. You might as well, grab a mop or something.
Well, it started out by me mopping the ceiling, so that was always a...
Mopping the ceiling.
Yeah.
Nice. This is a fantastic story.
Let's hear that story.
Well, I get a call from Chris saying, hey, do you want to come work at the brewery? I'm like, oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Sure. Why not? I mean,
yeah.
It's a brewery. What the fuck? I get there thinking I'm going to do some cool brewing stuff, and he's like, oh, well... See that ceiling up there? We had some yeast explode, and here's a mop. Have at it. And I'm like, well.
Had some yeast explode.
Yep.
So basically, we were making yeast cultures in 1 gallon glass jugs. Mm-hmm. When I say we, I mean Sean capped it off and just left it in the fridge. We had a good yeast culture. He was actually warming it up, preparing to push it into a starter to make a yeast culture for a batch. Mm-hmm. Pull it out of the fridge and let it warm up. And boom. When he went to open it, boom. And I think we've got 18-foot ceilings. I mean, they're a little bit shorter than yours, but it's a tall ceiling. And Jesus, it shot in a straight from ground level to the ceiling and splattered on the ceiling and was also in everything in a 10-foot direction in a 360-degree radius. Nice. So it was just all over everything. And so Doran comes up there. I was like, hey, you want to come work at the brewery? Climb on this ladder and mop the ceiling. And, I mean, we had to extend the ladder. It looked dangerous. He was both. I was like...
stretching pretty far, not gonna lie. I'm pretty tall, but yeah, it was up there.
You said both hands on the mop, so you weren't even like holding onto the ladder. No. Yeah, that's.
And the ladder was as tall as it went too. Like he was on top of the ladder. We're like, should we build you a harness or? You just put some sacks of grain under him.
There you go. Safety first.
Yeah, man. If I were you, I'd throw that on every resume from here on out. It's like ceiling mopper.
We'll fucking mop the ceiling.
I'll mop the fucking ceiling.
I'll clean that up.
I'll
clean that.
That's me after 1 minute.
Like, it's not worth it. You got to replace the ceiling. No, we got to get someone in here.
We got to redo this whole section.
This is not going to work.
Replace the ceiling.
So after mopping the ceiling.
I'm pretty sure there's still a stain there, too. If you guys are ever in there, look above the footer, slightly to the left. When I say left, I mean south. So if you're looking at the footer, it's to the south edge between the back room and the sinks and the footer. Like, it's actually directly above our new, I guess, 10-barrel bright tank. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's directly above the bright tank. You can actually still see the stain on the roof.
Excellent.
The yeast.
But since then, Sean does not keep yeast cultures in pressurized, or in, you know, capped pressurized
vessels.
Bottle. Yeah, because it will explode. I'm like, yeah, you should probably just put an airlock in there just in case.
I mean, just toss an airlock in there.
It's a lot like
25
that.
25 cents.
Like a part that where pool equipment exploded in my face.
Man, explosions. What is it? It's just a freaking explosion. I remember another one. You guys were preparing a firkin, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That also climbed the heights of division.
Fortunately, that was the doing of our former cellarman, James, who is also a great guy. I can't remember what beer that was. We still drank some of that beer, too. It was like, I want to say Seven Styles of Eddie with cranberries. We actually did two firkins.
Nice.
One of them exploded. Didn't work out. We actually tasted it. Dude, it smelled so good. Like, the brewery smelled like cranberries and hops.
It was too good. The beer knew it couldn't be drank by very many people.
It was just a little bit too much sugar, so we went back, redid it again, and a little bit less sugar and a little bit less, you know, ambient air temperature. Got it in the cooler, got it set up. And actually, if you go back and look at our beers, if it's not the first highest rated beer, it's the second highest rated beer that we've ever made.
Was nice.
The,
very nice.
The Seven Styles with the cranberry?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And it was a firkin.
Was that part of that event that you guys had that was all the fruit
rated
beers?
Yeah.
I didn't make it to that, but I remember. I know.
Oh, dude, that was probably one of the coolest events. Like,
oh,
that was basically like Sean's like, look at what Sean can do. And a little bit of Wade's, you know, addition with, you know, fruits and his IPAs was really nice, but some of the stuff that Sean put out that day was just spectacular. He had Cantaloupea with cantaloupe infused saison.
Fresh Cantaloupea is one of my favorite beers, and it's like the strangest thing.
And then there's Blueberry Espalier, Peach Espalier, a couple other ones I can't remember the names of off the top of my head. Everything aged on fruit. Outstanding. Like, really, really fun. Even I did something. Sean's beers were so good that day that I don't remember my own beers. I did something with fruit.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. It wasn't as good. Dude, the Blueberry Espalier to this day. We actually, I saved four cans of that for New Year's Eve for our second year anniversary. Nice. By the time that anniversary came, I was down to three cans. I got selfish, drank a can myself, so by the time it rolled around, we had two cans.
Uh-oh.
And we all split that up and shared that as a video as part of our two-year anniversary celebration. But that beer was fucking badass. Like, that's probably one of the best beers I've ever had for a sour, too. Like,
absolutely.
Like we were talking about earlier, I did not enjoy sours, but knew that stuff was like blueberry juice.
Yeah, man.
It was delightful.
It is beautiful.
It was like 6%, too. It was pretty solid. Or it was 4.5%. Still pretty solid.
So good. Doesn't matter.
It was like 4.5 and 6 IBUs.
It's sometimes the balance is what makes it just beautiful. It didn't, you know, not everything has to be 10%, and you know, you can always make something that's just middle of the road, but just the beautiful balance that are in some of those beers, that's, man, makes it step back a second.
Maybe more than a second. Step back for a while.
Maybe a minute. A couple minutes.
Quite a journey in craft beer. Anyways, this has been fun, guys. It's been a blast. We're winding it down here. So thank you for coming, Chris, finally. This has been a long time in the making. Thank you for bringing the beers. Awesome.
We haven't even gotten halfway through the beer.
Oh, yeah.
What? He's like, let's cut the show off.
All right. Stay tuned for some pretty epic Casual Friday videos.
Yeah.
47 of them. Of course, check Chris out at Division Brewing. Facebook, Division Brewing. He has a Facebook page, Division... Instagram. Sorry. Yeah.
Division Cellar Works.
That's right. Yep. Awesome Instagram page. Check that out. Check everything out. Don't forget to check out our brothers and sisters at
Casually Lit.
That's at us. New Main Brewing Company.
No, check them out. No. Check Casually Lit out after you're done with this one.
And prepare for February 24th, the debut of New Main Brewing Company.
Yes.
We're all looking forward to that. I can't wait to come up here and rack up a heavy tab and be like, hey, David, I'll pay you back later.
We're bros, right?
I am ready to be a different kind of stressed. I am 100% ready for that different stress.
You just leave Rody standing at the door. You'll be all right.
Ready. I'm about as ready as Ron is to bring it to you.
I do have this one idea. I want a bouncer that bounces. So I'm going to get him a big old pogo stick, and he's just going to be outside the door just bouncing the whole time, right?
Very nice.
Yep. Nope, just me? Okay, never mind.
I like it.
I would not complain.
Check out controllers and keyboards. Check out Good Brew. What is it called?
Good Brew Guide.
What's it called, Chris?
Good Brew Guide.
Good Brew Guide. We love those guys. Love Michael and Josh. They're doing great things. Show gets better and better every day. Check out Jekyll's. Check out everything that we do. And definitely follow our Instagram. Big things coming. Follow New May Brewing because big things coming.
And every single week that we could come out and do a show, we film a video called Casual Friday. You guys, everyone's looking forward to the weekend. We crack open a beer. We talk about what it tastes like, feels like. We're getting pumped up. We're getting you guys pumped up. You need to share the love, man. Share the videos. Tag, you know, oh, it's this guy over here who thinks cider's dumb. Just share it.
That'd be me. Fun
stuff. It's fun stuff. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Check you later.
Yeah, that was the Casual Lit podcast. I listened to it.
Alone, by myself. Will it touch me?
You should, too. It's great. It's your real firm Woody. Bye.